Welcome to episode of 195 of Fourth and John. I am Gail Saunders here with Evan Hollywood Hearn and Mr. Prime in the building. Today we're going to talk about an article that came out by The Athletic. They kept it really spicy. Shout out to Bo Wolf, Shiel Kapadia, and Zach Berman. These guys don't normally, you know, they don't normally drop articles like this.
And
this
is bombs.
2 months.
Big time bombs.
2 months of research. By these guys. It wasn't just a flash in the pan type of article, but if you guys are not signed up to The Athletic, check it out. This article was it speaks to something that we have already talked about this season. If you stuck with us over the season, we've kind of alluded to these kind of things. This episode is entitled 195 Chaos Behind the Curtains. And another guy who famously had this quote, chaos isn't a pit, chaos is a ladder. In terms of climbing that ladder, we have a guy by the name of Howie Roseman, who's been hand in hand with Jeffrey Lurie over his ownership. You know, 30 years he's owned this team, and Howie Roseman's been there a long time, helping him guide him through everything. We have won a Super Bowl, so let's all think about winning a Super Bowl. I think people tend to forget we won a Super Bowl. Have we? Have we?
A lifetime ago. Once upon a time.
I mean, just instant reactions. We'll dig deeper into it. But your initial reactions after reading this article?
Dude, I mean, obviously the Twitter world, the entire internet was sent into a tailspin after that article dropped. It's very like we're right in the midst of draft season right now. A lot of our shows have been draft oriented. That's kind of where I anticipated a lot of our content during this time of the year to go towards. I did not expect an article like this to be dropped, even though this is kind of like stuff that we already knew. This isn't a mystery that the Eagles organization has been a complete dumpster fire. But when the article put it in descriptive terms and really laid out everything that was happening behind the curtain, so to speak, dude, it was kind of jaw dropping. Just between, I don't want to call it nepotism, because I mean, Alec, he's not exactly... Alec Harrabee, he's not exactly related to Jeff Lurie, but he might as well be. I mean, this guy right here.
hey!
He's making our decisions. I'm not saying he's not a good guy.
Some of them.
Yeah, but he's a major player in the decision making factor. I'm not saying that he's not a smart guy, but he's definitely not a football guy. So I have cause for concern. That article really opened up my eyes a lot to what's going on here. I think we've got a lot to talk about.
Prime.
So yeah, I mean, we've been sitting on this information for a long time, but after reading this article today, I mean, the meme of like, wow, like mind blowing. I mean, holy shit balls. What the hell that I just got finished reading? I mean, we already know going into the season that the downfall we have to prepare ourselves for, but now it's like we don't have shit together at all after reading all this inside stuff about how things are being controlled in that complex. Oh man, Mark Farsetta said it best. We are doomed. Like, it's scary as shit to be an Eagles fan right now, reading all this shit, knowing that our management, our leaders to this organization can't even get their shit together. And it's really upsetting, man.
I mean, like, if people have been listening, there's one of the things that I had mentioned earlier this year that I heard from a player, a former player of the Eagles. He said that he had never seen a GM or owner of a team meddle as much as he saw from Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie. There's a quote in the article, you know, it said, describing Howie, says he is described as loyal to his guys and willing to let those he trusts handle their jobs without meddling. When it comes to, you know, Doug Peterson, you know, did he actually trust Peterson the way that he should have? A guy that you know, was a, there's a part in the article of him actually them being on the fence about Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz being the guy if the season went wrong direction. Yeah. You're like, word?
Yeah. Already had that in place.
Absolutely. And beyond that, just the absolute distrust that existed prior to Doug Peterson's Super Bowl and even afterwards. There was this talk about the Tuesday meetings that happened after every game day. And in the article, it lays out how that those Tuesday meetings, they never once happened over the 14-year tenure of Andy Reid as a coach here. So once Doug came, it's almost like when Chip Kelly left, there's all of a sudden there's absolutely no trust to be had in any head coaches that come into this building from that moment out. That's really what I took away from that. And just that, how it laid out how even when Doug Peterson was doing well, even when Doug Peterson was winning games, they're sitting in there on a Tuesday meeting and berating him, telling him about what he's doing wrong still. I mean, we all have jobs here. Imagine if you're doing a good job, you end up winning a Super Bowl, you end up going to the highest level that you can go in your own job, and then you continue to have these meetings where week after week, your boss wants to tell you about what you're doing wrong. It's like, I have achieved the unachievable, and you're still telling me about what I'm doing wrong. I mean, I understand Doug's frustration in that sense. Absolutely.
Shout out to Tim Bragton, who's joining us for this pod. How are you? Tim, did you read the article, and how are you feeling? Instant reaction.
I mean, yes, I read the article. I'm feeling exactly like everybody else is feeling. This is kind of something we already knew. We kind of already knew there was some dysfunction in there based on the season that we had last season. We've seen the, you know, leaks coming out, like Evan was just saying, all the time, people not trusting each other in their own positions, not having the ability to just do what they have to do, come to work to do their job. You got micromanagement from the top people in the organization. I mean, this is what we got. And I think it came after the Super Bowl when we had the expectation that this was going to be a yearly thing. That this was going to be what Doug and Howie were going to bring to Philly every other season. We were going to be contenders, and we were going to be in the running, and we were going to be able to, you know, be a playoff team. And I think when that expectation hit the ceiling, it was everybody else, including Jeffrey, like, oh, we need to make sure that this guy is going to get us there, that this guy is doing everything that he can to get us there every season. And I think that when you set that kind of bar and that expectation high, and you come and you reel back the curtains and you start seeing, oh man, things are starting to unfold, you start panicking. And when you start panicking is when all the things come out as far as news to the press, news to the fans and the media that shouldn't be getting out of the locker room. You have meetings every week with Doug Peterson, and he's feeling like he's getting undermined when in reality, that's the case. I mean, yeah. So it's things that we already kind of knew as fans. Yeah. I mean, this is coming out. If you're a Philly fan and you've been around this team for any amount of time, you've seen these things. I mean, we sat here all last season talking about this every week, the same exact thing. How is this getting out? Why is this coming out right now? We have so many other things going on for this kind of content to be getting leaked every single week. We're dealing with the same thing before a big game, divisional game. We got to hear some nonsense from the locker room that shouldn't be getting out on a Thursday.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, funny. This is what it is.
And it's, I think you took... Go ahead.
No, it's funny in the article that Howie alludes to those leaks. And he was like, yes, almost to the part where he was saying... He wanted to check cell phone records as to where the leaks are coming from. So talk about a level of paranoia in that office.
Total paranoia. And the one thing that, like, when you put all of the pieces together, there was another part of that article that drove me absolutely insane. And that was the fact where it talked about Howie Roseman and the front office. They're showing up to the war room on draft day with their own draft boards and kind of just disregarding everything that the scouting department had put together throughout the entire year. And there's one thing that I'm like, okay, that makes absolutely no sense. Why do we even have a scouting department if you guys are going to show up with your own boards? And on top of that, let's layer in the fact that Howie is spending most of his time in this swirling paranoia, running around checking people's cell phones and whatnot. What time does he have to be scouting players? He doesn't have any time. He's busy running around trying to plug holes that he doesn't know where they exist. And then you just show up and say, I'm going to do things my own way. It's complete dictatorship that's going on right now. It is.
The one statement that I'm reading here, building that coalition and leading that group to work together in a constructive way is not how we strengthen. Then how the fuck is this guy still our GM? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't get it.
Numbers.
It clearly says it's his weakness, but you're still going to go ahead and let this dude run the team? Like, it's crazy.
Can I just get something off my chest as well? Because there's something that I took away from that article that wasn't one of the major plot lines or anything like that, but it just kind of, it made me sad inside. And it was talking about Jeffrey Lurie grooming his son, Julian, to eventually take over the team. And I'm just sitting here. I was like, I'm 26 years old. I'm never going to know an Eagles team that isn't owned by the Lurie's in my entire life. That's what this feels like. Yeah. And considering how they run the organization, I'm sorry to say that horrifies
me. Well, I mean, we got to think, right? You know, if put your shoes in Lurie's shoes at the moment, say if you were the owner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you made some moves that, you know, maybe the public doesn't know about. Like, you might be feeling yourself to the point where, like, if I was meddling as much as I have been in the last 3 years,
yep,
if we actually won a Super Bowl, maybe they're feeling themselves in that capacity. But again, from a standpoint of losing your quarterback after you gave him all the $128 million, the fact that you got rid of your Super Bowl winning head coach, one of the first ones here, and now we're on an island, not a Revis Island. We are on the front office island. They're on Front Street. But I feel like this is the perfect opportunity now. You know, they say you got to crawl before you walk again. And I think having Howie Roseman with that target solely on his back now, like from this moment on, it's the target's on him. It's been on him for a while, but one more bad season, a bad drafting, they can't go on. Like
it's been mentioned clearly in this article as well that there was so much doubt. Like, people are clearly like, holy cow, how did we even pull off that season to win that Super Bowl? Yeah. Like, that is some crazy ass shit.
And that's what I was just saying. Like, as far as their expectation, when they sat there on Broad Street, given that speech talking about this was going to be an every season thing and that we were going to go back and we were going to be contenders every single year, that put an expectation from Jeffrey and on Jeffrey to make sure that that's what he was producing, that the product that he was putting on the field was way better of a caliber than what we've been seeing for the last two seasons. And that's where the turmoil came in, is him having this, you know, this cloud over him saying, oh, yeah, we're going to be contenders every year. Wait, what's going on? We're not contenders. We have bodies falling everywhere. We got thick dysfunction. What's going on? Oh, my God. Now I got to pull back the reins a whole lot and be all deep dived into the dough. And that's not the case. Just let the people do what they have to do. Potentially give Howie this season to do what he has to do. You're probably going to give him next season because of the amount of draft picks that we have coming up in this next season. So I don't know where we're going to go with Howie, because I know that Jeffrey Lurie is a Howie lover. So he's not going to just bail on him after one bad draft season. I'm just not hearing it. I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I agree with you. And just getting back to one thing that was brought up a little bit earlier in the show, we talked about how Jim Schwartz potentially was going to be, it was rumored that he would take over for Doug Peterson in 2017 if they got off to a slow start. Like, that to me, that took me back to that 2017 season. I was discussing with this with Gail earlier, and I remember like all of us, that season is very vivid in my memory because of the way that it ended. And I remember the Gatorade dump on Doug Peterson after winning the first game. And I thought to myself in the moment when that happened, I was like, yeah, that was weird. Why? Like, dumping the Gatorade on the coach after one win, after the first regular season game, that didn't make any sense. But now that all this information has come out, and it seems like that probably, to me, was common knowledge in the locker room, that Doug Peterson was really on thin ice, and that was a team that was rallying behind their coach and trying to kind of show the front office that, like, this is our guy.
This is our guy, right?
And yeah. That really spoke volumes to me. And the fact that there's such that disconnect between the players and coaches and the front office, Gail, like, while I agree with you that, like, this is Howie Roseman's, like, make it or break it year, I also disagree, because how many times have we said it before? How many times have we said before in years past that Howie Roseman has to get it right this year or else he's gone? I just don't see that. I think Howie Roseman is damn near invincible in this town.
I mean, he really has to mess things up. And I think we're halfway there. Like, you cannot continue to mess up drafts and stack bad drafts. The fact that you have 10 draft picks in the last 2 years, we have 11 this year, but he has got to get it back on track. I mean, and the funny thing is, you have this guy who is Alex Hallaby, who's kind of Howie's right hand man. He's also Julian Lurie's friend from Harvard.
I can't believe this man has been in the building since 2007.
Yeah,
he looks like he's funny.
Does he get carded?
Well, I remember him. There's actually a draft video, and it's Spadaro speaking to Alex and talking about his role within the being in the draft room. What's it like? And he kind of like gives you a behind the scenes of he says, I've been there since 2010. I've watched Howie work. And it's almost like, do you guys feel like Alex could be that guy that's being groomed to take, Howie's job? Yeah. This is Julian Lurie's guy.
Yeah.
It's a family. It almost feels like a family business over there.
And it's not something that should be. Pizza shops should be family businesses, not NFL teams.
But we do have a Super Bowl. We have to think about it. We do have a Super Bowl. And I've been waiting my whole damn life. I mean, Evan, I know you're young enough.
I don't want to discredit the Super Bowl. I'm thankful for it. I am.
And there's another part in the article, which was very interesting, talking about Brian Dawkins giving infusing a speech to the group and kind of like letting them know, they can't be divided.
Yeah.
They have to come together.
Stop that inside fighting that's been going on. Yeah.
And then a guy like Dawkins, who you would think would be here for years, like they would infuse him some way into this building. Walk besides,
after two.
He's an icon on
what
the team.
What does that say?
Yeah,
anything?
Walking away after 2 years being in the position that he was in, it was just like, I agree with you. I'm thinking like, oh shit, Brian Dawkins is part of the coaching staff. You know what I mean? He's that inspiration that we need in that locker room. And then hearing that he's going to walk away in 2018, it's like, what the hell happened? You know what I mean? We didn't get no explanation. But again, reading this article is like starting to answer a lot of these questions we had back then.
And he's not the only guy that's walked away from this team.
Yeah.
I mean, our defensive coordinator last year, he said he was going to take some time off. Oh, what do you know? He signed with the Titans.
Michael brought up a good point. I mean, back in 2017, they were even talking about getting rid of Frank Reich. And look, you know what I mean? That could have bit him in the ass. We probably would have never even had the Super Bowl. All right? Honestly.
Yeah.
Because I still feel to this day that dude played a big part in that organization that year. All right. I mean, let's keep it 100.
Yeah.
That's just the thing. And it's just like knowing that they were about to get ready to make that decision, you probably would have never had an MVP caliber Wentz that year as well. You know what I mean? Sure. So it's just like a lot of this shit is just playing a serious part right now.
Yeah. And they said in that article about how Doug Peterson stood up for Frank Reich and kind of put his foot down and wouldn't let him be removed as the offensive coordinator. And it seems like that's exactly what was going on when he got fired. He was sticking up for Carson Walsh. You know, he was trying to keep his own guys in the building. And like, that's where I kind of teeter on both sides of the fence, is that like, I think those guys last year should have been gone. Get your brother out of here, bro.
Prime's brother is in the building. Cowboy fan says, "Go Cowboys!" Let's say all say it together.
Yeah, all right. Yeah,
over my dead body.
You should have never even started the statement with that, bro. Now he's gonna blow that one out of proportion. Yeah.
Way wrong thing to say.
Yeah, but I simply think that like Doug Peterson, maybe he put his foot down for the wrong people in this last instance. But I agree with everything you just said, Prime. If he didn't put his foot down for Frank Reich, we might not have a Super Bowl. We might not have the Carson Wentz MVP-esque season. Those could all just be things that just never happened.
And here's another one, a puppet. You know what I mean? Hey, who's to say Nick Sirianni is going to be the next puppet? I mean, that's probably.
I think that's what they liked in him. Sirianni was fielding no other interviews.
Yeah, let's go this route and all that stuff. That looks just like them carrying you.
It's a shame.
Before he got hired, I said they're looking for their Fisher Price head coach. You know, their first head coaching job. You put the training wheels on the side. You put some spinners on there, make it look good. But they are training wheels.
This is karma hitting me, because I'm the same one that shout out to my brother, but I'm always clowning him like, yo, your owner is always looking for a puppet. He always gets his puppet. Now we're the joke. You know what I mean? Here, Jeff Lurie is playing that role on finding his puppet. And now we're getting clowned.
Now Brian takes a spin on Facebook. He says the article makes it sound like Lurie knows exactly what's going on. The past five drafts have been terrible. The roster is in shambles. We're in cap hell. Lurie's partially responsible for this. Now this is out of there for the fan base to see. If you're Lurie and you don't fire him now, will you ever? Because we're in a situation because of Lurie and Howie. They have been stacking up bad drafts for years. They've run almost everyone from the Super Bowl out of the building. It seems like we're.
I think it was too much text.
Yeah.
Stuck.
I was going to say, is that stuck?
Stuck.
Is that stuck?
Yeah.
That's what I was going with. I'm with you, Prime.
We'll just say stuck.
And then again, like, I mean, I know we mentioned this earlier, but that is definitely frustrating knowing that here we've been pushing as fans. Like, yo, go get this guy. Go draft this guy. And it seemed like they were almost there. They were almost there to go ahead and actually make a decision that us fans wanted. And then you decided to go with a whole different scheme with, what, 30 seconds left on the clock before you have to go and choose a player? Like, what the fuck? Oh, man. I'm trying to keep my cool, man.
I just feel like there's been a rift between the article talks about the rift between the scouting department and the front office and the coaching staff and trying to fit round pegs into square holes. And it looks like that when you look at this team and what they did last year, it just shows you that they didn't know how to utilize the players correctly. We're watching our players and you're like, why are you not utilizing them to their best abilities? So I don't know, man.
Michael wants to know. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I'm just saying, like, I feel like we go back and forth, because, like, in the very beginning of the article, it was mentioning how Peterson ended up coming into the games with a great game plan. And here, us fans looking outside of the box, we were questioning some of his game plans. But in reality, it was the game plan that we, as fans, wanted. So, the Green Bay game, 10-0 lead that they had on us, we switched it around, going to a running game, and then I see that on these stupid-ass Tuesday meetings, they want to question him on, hey, why weren't you passing the ball a little bit more? What the fuck? The running was working, dude. So why question that? Then Buffalo, we were there. We saw the wins. How are you going to go ahead and try to have a passing game in that weather condition? All right, so they stuck with a game plan on running that damn ball down their throats, and we pulled off the win because we ran the ball like we were supposed to.
Why question it? And isn't it such a crazy dynamic that, like, let's ultimately look at the backgrounds of the people that are questioning the coaches. We got Jeffrey Lurie, who is the owner of the team because he has money. He was a film producer, right? Not a real background in football. You got the analytics guy, Alec Hallaby, who, doesn't look like he's ever thrown a football in his life.
Harvard grad.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying he's not a smart guy. He's obviously a smart guy.
We're just talking his resume.
There's no dirt in those fingers.
And then you got Howie Roseman, who, you know, is another bean counter.
Started off as an intern.
So, these are the people that are sitting in these Tuesday meetings and questioning a football-minded person about what they're doing. Does that make any sense at all?
They show you the card. It's like playing, playing poker online. They show you the card because they're constantly bringing in football people to help out their organization. Constantly every season, we're getting another veteran guy, front office guy or football guy to come in here and help Howie before the draft or help him through the draft. We got the Joe Douglases and all these other people who have come in here, and you're seeing why. Because we have this dysfunction with people who have no clue what they're looking at actually on the field. No idea whatsoever.
Chat is spicy, man. The chat is spicy. And then you go, it goes back to Andrew Berry, who was here. He was hired by Howie Roseman to be the Eagles VP football operations. And he was kind of brought in to be the bridge between the departments. And it feels like, you know, he left and, you know, he left and then he's, you know, he's goes to the Browns and they start flourishing. You know, was he a guy that should have been kept here to be the next GM? And now, you know, we don't have him in our presence anymore.
Hey, you mean John Dorsey?
No, Andrew Berry.
Oh, Andrew Berry. I mean, are you saying is it possible that he felt the heat from the front office, didn't fit in?
I don't know, man. I just feel like he probably is like, I'm going to hit the eject button and go somewhere where it's stable.
Exactly.
Start thinking about like, you know, what's going on behind the scenes.
Is that not the front office mindset? I mean, we were just talking about how you have all these people who are, you know, considered outside of the Philadelphia organization to be great minds in football. And these gentlemen and ladies are deciding to leave to go other places where they're feeling like they're more structured. They're feeling like, and that's all we keep hearing from the outside, is that there's such a good culture here, that this is a player's team and a great organization to be a part of. But in reality, that's just smoke and mirrors, because every person who comes in here is like, wait, whoa, what's going on here? Let me haul tail out as quick as possible, because there's a lot going on here that we're not seeing. So
yeah, everybody's starting to do a Frank Gore.
Yeah. And could we not get caught up in the irony that Howie Roseman was ultra paranoid about leaks in the building, when ultimately a lot of us were saying, like, where's all this dirt on Carson coming from? Like when he was being like shipped out of here, like when they were getting that move to get him over to Indy. And there was all that Carson trash talk that was escaping out of the building. And we were kind of like sitting there like, I wonder if Howie's putting this one out. Yeah, isn't that kind of ironic that this guy is running around checking cell phone records and very well could be the leak himself?
The leak, right. Yeah, he's got a burner. He's putting all this together in a burner and putting it out there.
And you know what the horrifying thing is? I told you how I think Howie's pretty much indestructible in here. I think if who was it? It's escaped my mind right now. Brian Colangelo. If that burner sort of thing were to happen with Howie Roseman, I still think Howie would still be the GM after that got out.
He might just get thrown back in the basement.
He'll just throw him back to the basement, and they'll be like, all right, we're just going to hide him for a year, then we'll bring him back out.
I mean, put respect on man's name. Executive of the year, bro. Come on. I mean, he won that Super Bowl. We were like, yeah, executive of the year.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's – you know, it's almost like Howie is—he's playing a game of chess, and he's learned how to last this long. And it's just this idea of, like, you know, Evan thinking that he's never going anywhere. The fact that this is more than just him being Howie the GM. This is more of being Howie the friend and the shoulder to lean on, and the guy that I can tell you to draft Janoff when I want you to, and you'll sit. You will never give me any back lip or anything. You want Janoff in the second round over DK? Shall we? You know,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I going back to what I said, like, an NFL organization is not a family business. Like, this is these positions need to be filled by the most qualified people that you can find. And the fact that they're just handing out jobs to friends and sons' friends is alarming to me. And like, that's not something that should be happening. Excuse me for thinking that I think that there's probably more qualified people out there than Jeffrey Lurie's son's best friend. Sorry.
What's your credentials, man? What's your credentials?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean,
if he wanted to get him a job as an intern on the team, and he were to work his way up,
he did work his way up from intern.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
But they were in the
so article, Howie,
yeah. In the video with him talking to Spadaro about how he his rise to like how he, bro, come on, we know how he rose there, yeah, how he got there. Very very interesting. Listen, because you're looking at that whole video interview and you're like, really, is that how you got there? Could we have, you know, in this whole idea of like some people hate the idea of analytics being part of football. It is what it is, and I think it's this whole Alex Halley talked about this whole Moneyball idea. You're just like, you know, and then Howie Roseman being a big part of the whole analytics world. Yeah. Like he did like a whole interview on with who was at Penn after the Super Bowl, and it was based solely on analytics. So it was just interesting.
Yeah, dude, it's that article ultimately, it didn't make me feel good about the team. It didn't make me feel good about the direction that we're heading, and it didn't really give me any hope that we're going to dig our way out of this situation. I mean, I do believe that analytics does have a place in sports. I think that it, you know, it's there's a reason that other teams use it. I think that it gives you information that, like, just looking at plays and studying film that you wouldn't see. But there's a fine line. Like, you need to have football minds in there and analytics guys, and they need to work together. There's no working together within this building, and that's ultimately where the problems lie.
Yeah. Spice, the chat is spicy tonight. A lot of people are saying Tom from, you know, from YouTube. Hey, look at Tom's photo right there. Is that your trophy, Bear Prime?
Nah, I don't think so.
Sure about that?
Yeah.
Tom goes to he goes to the tailgate. So.
Hey, he might. You know what? That might have been mine. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Big Fish Little Boat says, anyone find the timing kind of interesting? Weeks before the draft, is Howie playing chess with Lurie over the draft? Howie will get the blame no matter what.
How do you mean playing chess with Lurie? Because I kind of view them as being on
together.
The same, yeah,
same team. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same team.
Yeah, I don't think that – I think they're in each other's back pocket. I really don't think that there's any like Howie's going to overthrow Jeff or Jeff's going to go behind Howie's back. I don't think that happens. I think that those two are connected at the hip.
Yeah.
It's funny that part of the article where it speaks about Lurie being, you know, out in Hollywood, and he's got the surround sound with TVs watching all the different bowl games, yeah, and like
Senior Bowl, Japan Bowl, all that stuff.
Yeah.
being a draftaholic, and him being like, you know, we look at Jeffrey Lurie as like this owner of the team, but do we look at Jeffrey Lurie as this, you know, draft nerd? Like, you know, some of us draft nerds are like, yeah, we love our he's in real life. Like, I can draft this person in the second round.
You know what a very loose analogy to that would be is like, if I'm a guy with a ton of money and I can go, I've never swung a golf club in my life, but I go down, I hang out with the riches. I get to know Tiger Woods. I get the best golf clubs I can possibly find. I go play with him. Does that make me good? Does that make me qualified to play with Tiger Woods just because I can hang out with him, talk with him, and I have the same equipment as him? No.
Sign me up for the Masters.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I tell you what though, man. After reading this too, it's like this show, this opportunity is the only thing that salvages Tuesdays. Because now knowing about their Tuesday meetings, I can't stand Tuesdays for shit.
Yeah,
I can't.
I could imagine like Peterson going into these meetings like, I'm really doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I remember in college we had to wake up on Monday at like 4 a.m. to watch film and be just dreading that day so bad. But imagine being in a office with, like, you're a football guy and you're sitting in there with non-football guys and they're hitting you with, hey, Alex, bring up the analytics. Let's talk about it. And Doug's like, you know, you see him in these pressers and he looks confused. He looks like he doesn't want to be here. We didn't start seeing that until last season.
Do you think that Doug Peterson going for it so consistently on fourth down was a product of analytics or a product of him and his coaching style? I'm being serious. Like, do you think that was Doug Peterson's coaching style, or do you think that was like the analytics and they were trying to push him to go for fourth on fourth more?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it was the analytics.
Yeah, I'll go with the analytics.
What if he was like, screw your analytics, I'm just gonna keep going for it? And they're like, Doug, I'm gonna kill you. Wait till I see you.
If that would have been the case, and the man should would have been fired halfway through the season.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
yeah.
Again, you get a lot of mixed emotions just reading back and forth shit. You know what I mean? Like, again, like now you question, was the relationship between Peterson and Wentz really dysfunctional? You know what I mean? Maybe it wasn't. Maybe, you know what I mean, they had each other's back. Peterson had confidence to go ahead and give Wentz another try and give him a fresh start. But, you know what I mean, clearly it says here in the article they didn't want to go that route. They wanted to go ahead and maximize the draft compensations, you know what I mean, for 2022 and beyond. You know what I mean? So it's like, again, now we're back to what was the truth behind this whole shit?
Yeah. And there's a comment by Mark. He says here, coaches talk to other coaches. No one is going to want to come to Philly till Howie is gone. And what shout out to Luke Stansfield. He, you know, this word had got out. This is how he got information. And, you know, he posted that article about how he Doug Peterson wanting to step down at the end of the season. And this is intel from, you know, other teams that he came across this information. And that's what he wrote the article about. And
that was like week 12 or week 13, too. That
it was way girl, it was way before anyone would even think about Doug Peterson wanting to step away. And when it comes down to you read that article, it kind of just really just gives you a roadmap to like how things were getting messed up. There was the comment earlier from I believe Michael talking about do you guys fault Carson Wentz wanting to lead the situation?
No, but the dude is I every day that passes that Carson isn't on the team, I like kind of just get over it a little bit more. I'm over Carson at this point. I'm ready to move forward with the Jalen Hurts era. I was just tweeting earlier today. I really wish, out of spite, that Jalen Hurts would have taken number 11 when he did the jersey switch, just for the spite of it.
Just to make it a little spicy.
Well, I mean, Carson took two. Just go right back at him. Take 11.
I'll tell you what.
That would have been hilarious.
Just go get one made, put 11 on it, put Hurts on the back of it. Be call
great.
It a day.
It'd be great.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, I can't really fault Carson for wanting to get out of here. It's completely dysfunctional. I would want a fresh start as well.
I mean, yeah. Think about it. B-Doc left, right?
Yeah.
You know, Trey Thomas was a coach here. He left. You know, Chip Kelly didn't get along with Howie, put him on the other side of the building. Not a football guy. You think about Lurie taking over and taking control, 53 angry men and one angry GM taking control. And then two years later, they get to this, you know, opportunity and flip the script with the Super Bowl team. I think that a lot of people in the comments have made mention, just like they probably got full of themselves after that moment. They're just like, you know what, if we could do it again. But a lot of picks were made, man. A lot of free agents that were brought on to that team made perfect sense. I felt like, I think with Joe Douglas's guidance, they picked some of the right guys to fit. They still didn't get the right guys in here draft-wise. But again, like you look at that 2017 draft, of all those guys that were drafted, those running backs, all of them, you're going to tell me you couldn't have landed any of those guys? That's absurd, bro. Like, that is so absurd to me that like you couldn't have picked out any of those running backs. I'm still shell-shocked, you know?
Yeah,
coming from a scouting group.
Yeah, but that's whose draft board were they using? Were they using the front office's draft board, or were they using the scouting departments?
Yeah,
you know, I was like, I just got off Draft Network, and I just finished my mock.
He's got five stars. He's got five stars.
He got five stars.
I got a B+ for this guy in my mock.
In my mock
on PFF. So that's come on, man. It really does speak to, you know, a lot of the misses. I'd feel a certain way, man, if I was in the scouting department. You know, like I'm going elsewhere. Like, and look at Lewis Riddick. You've seen Lewis Riddick speak on the timeline and he'll throw darts. If you're paying attention, when anything bad goes on in Philly, he'll throw something out there on the timeline. You're like, yeah, he's speaking to
what's going on.
Yeah. You know, because I think a guy like Lewis Riddick would be nice. It would be a nice change. You think that ever happened?
Not while no, because I don't think Howie's going anywhere. I think like as much as I would love Lewis Riddick, I think he's a great football guy. I think he's a guy that can solve our problems. No,
I don't know.
It's not what people want to hear, man. I'm just telling you what I think is the truth.
It's the truth.
I totally agree with you. I'm in total agreement. I do not think Howie's going anywhere anytime soon. I don't think that Jeffrey wants to let him go anywhere anytime soon. And I don't think that. I mean, he has full control. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, if you're coming to Philly as a coach or as any kind of personnel front office person, you know that Howie Roseman has full control of this organization. I mean, there's no other way to put it. We can sugarcoat it however we want. But I watched a video about Trey from interview with Trey Burton the other day talking about where he was making a comment saying that Howie Roseman has all the control. He's 150% the man in Philly. So if that's the case and you have a foreign player coming out and saying that about your organization, like you said earlier, what is that telling to the rest of the coaches and the front office personnel across the league? Is that letting them know they getting a warm and fuzzy to come interview for the Eagles? No. Mm-hmm. So until he's gone, there's not going to be any kind of changes. It's just going to be them trying to plug and play and get people in that are going to fit with Howie and gel with Howie and make sure that everything is good with Howie, because that's Jeffrey's dude.
I think ultimately what it comes down to is Jeff is love blind. Like, he loves Howie Roseman, and he just can't see Howie Roseman being the fault for anything.
Nah.
That's his guy. That's his best friend. It talks about how the relationship in that article. It says it's more than just a working relationship. They're actually really good friends. I think it's as simple as that. Is that you can't I just can't possibly think that Howie could do anything wrong.
I think Jeff will blame his wife before he blames him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be his third wife. You know. You know. Imagine Larry's like, "Hey, Howie, you want to run some Warzone later? Get on the sticks. You know. Get your son Julian on there. We'll, you know, we'll call up Alex. Yeah. You know, we need four people anyway. Let's like, what is that relationship like? And if that ever happened, that would be like a monumental moment in like Philadelphia sports history, like them parting ways. That would be pretty huge. I think another part in the article that spoke to Andy Reid. I feel like Andy Reid was a guy who was, you know, had control. Mm-hmm. And I think he's probably one of the last guys after he left.
I'm telling you, it's Chip Kelly is the source of the problem here.
Right.
And Kelly took over control, absolutely, they were like, that's not happening again.
Absolutely.
I think Chip Kelly put it over the mark. They're like, no. He was way extreme football guy. And we got our, the fact that he had to come out with t-shirts that against New England that game, mm-hmm, you know, to make a statement. That was a wild ride this season, because when Chip first got here, we were like, "Yo, the speed!" Like,
"Yo, that first game,
first game, we were sold, man. We were sold.
Everybody was sold. We were sold.
He's like, we're gonna score 50 points a game.
Yeah. I don't think nobody was sitting down that game.
Oh man,
it went downhill quick.
That shit got found out quick, didn't it?
It went downhill real quick." Real quick.
Yeah, man.
You mean you can't string together the same six plays every week and expect success?
I mean, I think that's, like you said, it's the Andy Reid, Chip Kelly, that transition, because he was so used, Jeffrey, speaking, he was so used to the consistent winning from Andy. You had decades of winning where Philly was a landmark. You had best coaches here. You know, the coaching tree from Andy Reid was crazy, pumping out every coaches every other season. You had great players that were here for a long period of time. You had success here with Andy. So there was this huge comfort zone. You know, Jeffrey was making money. The city was going crazy. It was great. And then when you left him and you guys separated, you were like, oh, you know what? I'm going to pick somebody who's completely opposite of you, and I'm going to go with Chip Kelly. And when that backfired, oh man, Jeffy was like a lost puppy dog in the woods, just trying to find his way home. That's all he wanted to do.
And you're exactly right.
He is not moving off that front porch. Once he found his home and he left and he went back to his house, he's not moving outside. He's got COVID. He's staying in quarantine. He's good.
Now, Bri K. Matt over here, or Brick Matt, says, no wonder Daniel Jeremiah left. He was offered a gig here, and Daniel's like, I'm good at NFL Network. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be doing my next making
mock. He's making a lot of money at there, though, too. So, I mean, let's not put that aside. I mean, NFL Network is paying Daniel Jeremiah a nice little penny. So
think about it. That you're on the road to being a GM. That's like everyone's dream job, to be a GM. Like, you know, maybe he knew that the writing was on the wall. The funny thing is, like, if Doug Peterson had that Press Taylor moment where I'm gonna put Press Taylor and he gets let go, mm-hmm. and if Andy Reid had a moment, he's like, screw you guys, I'm gonna put Juan Castillo at defensive coordinator.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like, are those moments like one of those FU moments where they're just like, FU, I'm gonna do whatever I want, you know?
That's possible.
Yeah. You know, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm like, was that a FU moment to the front office? Like,
I just can't imagine that Andy Reid's time here was ever really as bad as Doug Peterson's time. I don't think that the relationship strain, because I think that Andy somewhat left on good terms. I think that, like, everyone kind of felt the same way that Andy Reid, when he left, he's a good coach. It's just his time here was up. And I agree with you in the fact that, like, Howie and Jeff Lurie got so used to after, you know, decade and a half with Andy Reid, that he was like, they didn't have anything to worry about. Andy Reid had it under control. And so when Chip Kelly came in here, he seemed like a guy that was really smart, and they just figured it. They were like, I mean, the last guy, he was able to just hold everything down. Why shouldn't a head coach be able to hold things down? I think that's how they viewed it. And then things started to go sideways, and that's where they stepped in and had to, you know, start making drastic moves.
Talk about drastic moves. They're going to have to make drastic moves on draft night. Just want to give a shout out to, you know, the crew. We're going to be doing a live stream. If you guys haven't noticed yet, we'll be doing a live stream for all 3 days. So if you guys want to jump on the show, give us your draft takes and be a part of the show, we're happy to have you. That's where we met Mr. Tim Bragton last year. Yes, he jumped on the draft show. He's going to be joining us for some of these shows and some of our live content. Man, are you excited, man? Like, are you guys getting the juices going? Are you towards the end of your draft studies?
An article like this is not going to get me not excited for the draft. I'm still pumped, bro. I'm very excited to see who the Eagles are going to be scooping up. I mean, you know, obviously I have my concerns because of who's picking, but ultimately I'm going in with high hopes, optimism, and I'm hoping that we get it right. Simple as that.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
we already looked at who we had a podcast about who we're picking at number 12. We looked at we had a podcast about picking in day 2 and 3. We will be having a day three of the draft.
Yeah, that second podcast was just rounds 2 and 3, not day 3.
2 and 3, rounds 2 and 3, but day 3, where all the gems, guys like Jason Kelce were found, who else, Jalen Mills were found. I think it's, mm-hmm. I did a mock draft last night, it was kind of interesting.
Oh, yeah?
I had Elijah Mitchell, running back?
Oh, yeah?
Back end, trying to get a DJ Daniel, maybe? You know, mm-hmm.
Wouldn't mind a DJ Daniel.
Yeah,
Georgia.
That'd be nice pedigree.
But final thoughts before we get out of here. I know this was kind of like a impromptu podcast, but we just wanted to talk about this article since everyone was talking about it.
I want to give a PSA out there to Alec Hallaby. I just want to say, yo, Alec.
Say to his face.
I'll say it to his face. Alec, I want you to go and check the analytics about when Vince Young said dream team. What was the reaction? Ooh. Give me the analytics on the reaction to that. And then why you allowed Howie Roseman to say something as stupid as quarterback factory last year. Did you get the analytics on that? Did you, Alec?
Oh man. Yo, he got so mad he froze.
Oh my goodness.
Hey man, we got a new sheriff in town, and his name is Negan. Don't mess with him. He's got I think the bat, which his name is Lucille.
Lucille.
The bat could be named Howie, because that's that's Lurie's bat.
Yeah. It definitely could be. Yeah.
You know, he does the dirty work. You know, the bat he carries it everywhere he goes.
Bashing in coaches' heads with meetings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't know.
He's not swinging it like Birdman. That's for sure.
Birdman, very violent. Shout out to Birdman from the West Coast.
Yes.
Represent always to the fullest. Prime, any last words before we get out of here?
16 more days till draft day. I mean, just excited, again, like Evan mentioned, to see what we're going to go ahead and do. Hoping that we can just go ahead and make some right choices come that day. Definitely looking forward to go ahead and having the live stream. You know what I mean? Start building up this excitement or a little bit of excitement amongst ourselves.
You got to be excited. You got to be excited. Yeah. Even if you know the guy who's picking it might not make you excited. The draft is always exciting.
Hey, it's the beginning of a new book, man. It's a whole new book.
Is the Wentz fathead still on the wall?
The Wentz fathead is still on the wall, man. All right. Let me have my moment. You might have given up on him. And yes, eventually, no matter what, got to move on from him.
He's dead.
You know what I mean? He's still there. All right, fall back, buddy.
Timmy, last words.
Yeah, man. I mean, as far as the article goes, I mean, it was nothing that, you know, I already hadn't thought of or already hadn't assumed. With a little bit of knowledge that we got released to us, we kind of put the pieces together already and kind of seeing, you know, what was going on behind the scenes. If you were a Philly fan, as far as the draft, I just can't wait. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. I'm tired of doing the mock drafts. I'm tired of seeing everybody's picks. I don't care anymore. I just want to get to it. Let's get it going. I don't care what Daniel Jeremiah 11.0. I don't care. No, I don't want to see that mock draft. I'm tired of it. Yes, yeah, we know.
I'm tired.
Give me the reality.
Yeah, we know Trevor Lawrence is going number one. I'm tired of seeing it again. I don't want to see it anymore.
If I hear another mock draft,
just let me get it. I mean,
I'm done.
I think we're all at that point, you know, as NFL enthusiasts and NFL fans. I mean, I think we're all at the point. We're following it. We're ready for it. We've watched the pro days. We've seen everything. We've watched the interviews. I mean, we know just as much information as they do at this point. I mean, so I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to go. Let's get it in. Let's go.
Let's go. Yes, sir, man. Like I said, we're going to be doing another podcast on day three, potential targets. That'll be coming up soon. Another podcast that we'll be doing. I don't know if Evan wants to break the news here.
Yeah, we got we have the Super Bowl champion. We got Rick Lovato jumping on this Thursday. Really looking forward to that interview, trying to, you know, get some inside information. I'm sure he can't spill all the beans, but we're going to see what we can pull out of him. So I'm really looking forward to that interview.
Yeah, Rick Lovato, if none of you know, he's a hometown guy, man. He grew up around this area. So
his
it's cool
dad
to
went to Temple's mom went to Rowan, yeah.
Yeah, another Temple grad. Shout out to Evan for graduating from Temple. And Timmy, Temple as well.
Yes, Temple in the house.
Yeah, man, represent.
Yes, sir.
But I guess that's all for us, man. Good times talking.
Great, man. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys, again.
Thanks for coming on, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Appreciate it, man.
Door's always open.
Hey, the chaos isn't that bad, okay? We took you behind the curtain. Let's be a little bit optimistic. It's hurt season. Let's hopefully we're not hurting after the draft when they pick up these draft picks, okay? But for me and the guys, we'll see you guys in the next one. And as always, fly, Eagles, fly.